If you will, we're going to turn over to James chapter 3 to start off this morning. It's just our jumping spot. James chapter 3. And this morning I'd like to address the thought, the lies we tell ourselves. James 3, starting with verse 3. We put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us. We turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire hell. For every kind of beast and bird and of serpent and of things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so be. Let's go ahead and be seated, please. Now, if you would listen to this one verse, Jeremiah 17:9, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" God seems to express an extremely low opinion of our tongues, our mouths, and still even lower of our hearts. In their abilities to deceive, trick, and lie, even to each other. As we find in Matthew 15:8, where God says, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouths, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." How can God expect the world to see His truth in us when we deceive ourselves from within ourselves daily with the lies that we tell ourselves? The first lie I want to address is perhaps the greatest lie ever told. It's found in Psalms 14:1, where it says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." The sentiment is then repeated in Psalm 53:1. "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." And notice it doesn't say that his mouth claims there's no God. The fool does not say with his mouth, "There's no God," or "I don't know if there's a God," or "I don't believe in God." A lost man will say those things with his mouth. The lost man who does not know God at all. The fool says it in his heart. The fool has taken the Lord's name in vain. He claims it, but the heart has problems believing it. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." I'm going to take a moment to look at the Fool's Hall of Fame. Just a couple of names I pulled out. We'll start off with Eve. Eve walked and talked in the garden daily with God. Faith was no requirement with her. She knew God personally. But when that fruit issue came up, she took the fruit anyway. The heart said, "There's no God of sovereign rule. There's no God I'm disobeying. There's no God to judge or punish." The fool said in her heart, "There's no God." David, king of Israel, as king in that country, he was expected to memorize the very laws of God, all of them. As supreme judge of the land, he of course must know all the laws of the land. The law said that an adulterer and an adulteress must be killed. Leviticus 20:10. The law said a murderer must be killed. Leviticus 24:17. Yet in one foolish moment, he broke the first of those laws. Then to cover it up, he broke the second one of those laws. His heart said, there's no God of sovereign rule. There's no God that makes rules or laws over me. There's no God with the right to punish or judge me. The fool said in his heart, there is no God. Solomon, believed by most to be the wisest man to have ever lived, yet in an effort to appease others, his how many ever wives, he ordered the building of shrines and of temples to all manners of false gods. As king, he also had to memorize all the laws of God. We can read quickly the law, Exodus 20, 2 through 5. I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likenesses of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. But Solomon's heart said, there's no God that will be jealous of the false idols that we worship. There's no God that despises my disloyalty. There's no God that will punish my future for my past. Yet Solomon's sons and servants learned to serve false gods from King Solomon. I say to you that the wisest man to have ever lived was at least once a fool. You may judge yourself, but for myself, the only reason I do not headline the Fool's Hall of Fame is that I'm not famous, but I've played the fool too many times. Why don't we pray when God says, pray without ceasing? Ask and it shall be given you. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Could it be that we've said in our hearts, there's no God. There's no God who cares about me. There's no God that will help my situation. There's no God of the everyday, least of all a God of miracles. There's no God to answer prayer. Why do not we witness when God's commanded us, go ye into all the world, preach my gospel to every creature, and warns us consistently of the sorrows of sin and the sufferings of hell? Could it be because we said in our hearts, there is no God holy and righteous, no God forgiving yet just, no rewarder or punisher? There's no salvation, savior, or hell to be saved out of. Surely there's no God that condemns me for my sin, and there is no God to judge me for my disobedience. Why don't we give testimonies? Is there no God to be praised, honored, lifted up? The fool's heart says, there's no God. Why don't we serve? Is there no God worthy of serving? Is He not master of our lives? Which leads us to perhaps the second greatest lie we tell ourselves. And that lie is, I am God. I'm the God of my life. It's my life. I can do what I want. My will be done. Listen to these soft-spoken words from Galatians 6:3. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. What is man? Genesis 2:7 pretty much sums it up as dirt that God breathed life into. In Genesis 3:19, God adds a few thoughts when he says, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. My Bible continues to place little reminders of me throughout. Reminders that I am dirt. Anything else, anything more than that, is purely a gift from God. If you will, turn with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, we'll be reading a very familiar parable starting in verse 16. A story about a man who thought he was something. Luke 12, verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Can I go back and say, I am dirt, but the life I live is meant to be fertile ground. God wishes to plant blessings in our lives, a harvest so plentiful that we have nowhere to store it. We forget so easily that we are not put here for ourselves, but for God's glory and the blessings we are to be to others. We lie to ourselves. We say, it's my life and I can do what I want with it. I am the God of my life. The blessings God would put in our lives are for His glory and for the benefits of others. Some here today would say, what blessings? I'm not a millionaire. God's not blessing me. It's odd that we always seem to look at what we don't have instead of what we do have. There was a man of great poverty. He was approached once by an acquaintance who seemed to suggest that the poor man just wasn't getting blessed by God because he had so little. Later, as the poor man thought about how God was or wasn't blessing him, he made a short list of almost all his worldly possessions. It was a very short list. And the list read something like this. I've a roof up above me. I've got shoes on my feet. I've got food on my table and a good place to sleep. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. And he concluded that list with, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. That poor man did not know it, but God had also blessed him with words for a very simple and beautiful song that still today is a blessing to thousands of people he never knew. God's blessed some of us here today with a beautiful singing voice. So we use it to sing all those bar and booze songs with our favorite country music singer on the radio and don't praise God. God has blessed some of us with a warm smile, bright sense of humor. So we use it to tell those off-color jokes at work and make friends with the world. God's given some of us the imagination to be a fine storyteller, a Sunday school teacher's dream, but we wouldn't dare repeat the stories you've been telling. Now, I myself have a military background and a background of great sin. But there are things that come out of the mouths of some of our young Christian ladies that I would be embarrassed or humiliated to say if I was the only one in the room at the time. God's built us to be fertile ground and placed in us a wide range of different talents and abilities or blessings. But we've decided that we are the gods of our own lives. We can use these things however we want. Forget others. Forget God. Me, me, me. And God cries out, "Thou fool." We've laid up the treasure that God has given us for ourselves only and our pleasures. We are not rich toward God and His causes. We're not lifting up our brothers when we can. We're not winning the lost from sin or hell while we still draw breath. It's funny that we all look forward to the day God calls us to heaven, just knowing that we will finally receive the rewards that we so richly deserve. But I wonder if my God's first words to me might be, "Thou fool, what blessings you wasted." The final lie we tell ourselves is the most common lie in the world. It doesn't matter. Nobody cares. Who cares? Why should I care? Apathy. The horrible worldwide habit of whatever the problem is, ignore it. Maybe it'll just go away. We can't make a difference. Let someone else do it. I tried to connect apathy or laziness to the word fool using the scripture, just so I could use a snappy title today, like "What Kind of Fool Am I?" or "Three Fools I Met in My Mirror." But a comparison of Proverbs 26, verse 16 and 12, showed that God said, "The lazy man, the apathetic man, he's not a fool." He said in verse 12, "There's more hope of a fool than of a lazy man." In answer to the question, who cares? God cares. It matters to Him. In answer to the question, why should I care? Because God cares, and it matters to Him. The last time I spoke to this group, I touched on how God had faith in us, how He went to the cross, suffering and died for our sins without knowing if we would accept the sacrifice, giving us freedom of choice. He even said Himself in Matthew 7:14, "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there will be that find it." But as He had faith in us that we would accept Him, He has faith in us that we will serve Him. How do I know that God has faith in those of you here in this room this morning? Because you're still here. You see, when God went down to visit Sodom and Gomorrah, He went down to see if there was anything worth salvaging. He is God, the believer. And He was looking for anyone left to believe in. He found Lot, his wife, his daughters, and they weren't much to work with. God had to drag them out of the city in order to give them a second chance. When God lost faith in Sodom and Gomorrah, He wiped it from the face of the earth. If you remember the rest of the story, Lot's wife used her second chance, and she decided to look back, mourning and desiring those things God despised. And immediately God wiped her from the face of the earth. Once, instead of viewing a city, He viewed an entire world. And He gave one man, a man named Noah, a second chance. But God no longer believed in the rest of mankind. And as you know, He wiped them all from the face of the earth. If you're still drawing breath today, it's only because God still believes that you can be of some good to someone in His name. God cares when no one else does. God cares. The heart has said, there is no God. The heart has said, you are your own God. The heart has said, no one cares anyway. It doesn't really matter. God said, the heart is a liar, deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. But then what can be done about it? We've heard this morning what the lies we tell ourselves. Now let's take a few moments to hear the truth God wants us to hear. I'm going to flip to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 9. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. God wants to give us one truth that He wants us to embrace so much that it literally consumes our lives. A thought you cannot sleep without. A thought you cannot wake without. A thought you can't help but talk about at home, at work, at the ball game. He wants us to be so taken by this thought that it's before us everywhere we turn, everywhere we go, and blinds us to anything else. He wants this to fill us to the point where there's no room left. No room for our heart to have the lies that we tell ourselves. What one truth is it? Back up to verse 4 and verse 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thine soul, and with all thy might. Love God. Can you say there is no God when you love God so much it consumes you? Can you claim to run your own life when loving Him is your biggest influence? Can you sit on your hands and do nothing when loving God means everything to you? Not unless you throw out God in favor of those lies we tell ourselves. It would seem that loving God would be the easy, most natural thing to do, especially to someone who's recognized their need for salvation, recognized what God did to save them. But by the time God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses, the hearts of men had lied to them so often and so deeply that loving God had to be the subject of the first four commandments. Jesus called loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind the first and greatest commandment of God's. After all, to love or glorify God was the only reason man was ever created. We don't have time this morning to spend on all the aspects of how to love God, but I will say this. We spend time doing what we love, and when we can, we spend time with whom we love. The world has a saying that says, absence makes the heart grow fonder. But experience shows us, time and time again, absence makes the heart go wander. Does God seem absent in your life? Have you made yourself absent in His? How much time have we spent with God? If we treated time like we do finances, we'd have to say we haven't given God anything until after we've tithed. You're not really giving God any of your time till after the first 2 hours and 24 minutes a day. Now, how could we possibly spend that much time with God through the course of a day? I don't spend that much time on anything except a 3-hour football game or a NASCAR race, a movie, a couple of TV shows, maybe a good book. We spend time with whom we love. And I am the most guilty of all. I spend time sitting on my back end, flipping channels on my remote, watching baseball, golf, not really caring about either one, which makes me conclude that I must either really love my remote or really love my back end. Sometimes even worse for people who are really full-time in the ministry, pastors and Christian school teachers. They tend to lean toward doing the job and forget the serving God for them first. Soon they spent their time in the flesh on the things of God, but not with God. And then they're just filling a role. Proverbs 10:12 tells us, love covereth all sins. That's not just that the love of God through the blood of Christ covered my sin that I might be forgiven. That's true. But also, if my love for my God is enough, then I won't choose those sins. And they are covered from me. If my love towards Him consumes my life, there's no room left for those sins. I need to work on it, that loving God thing. A good portion of us in this room remember an old television show. It was called Gilligan's Island. And the actor that played the lead role of Gilligan, his job was to mess up everything every week on every episode for everybody. But when the cast and crew that made that show were interviewed, universally every one of them picked that actor as the most well-read, knowledgeable, and intelligent person involved with the program. What's the point? A clown is only a clown when the makeup's on. And a fool doesn't have to be a fool all the time. But if the world is looking to you for answers or to see if what you say or stand for is real, all they will see is that one time that you played the fool. They'll brand you hypocrite, and there will be no second chance. It's my life, and I can clown around on occasion, or I can be a clown. I can joke around, or I can be a joke. I can make mistakes, or I can live my entire life as a mistake. And God gave me the choice. But either way, there is a God. He is sovereign, and it matters to Him despite the lies we tell ourselves.